I often saw him strolling companionably in the garden with Mrs. Pumphrey, and in his pen he spent much of the time standing upright, with his cloven feet against the wire netting, waiting eagerly for his next visitor. Pigs grow quickly, and he soon left the pink baby stage behind, but his charm was undiminished. His chief delight was to have his back scratched. He would grunt deeply, screwing up his eyes in ecstasy. Then gradually his legs would start to buckle, until finally he toppled over on his side. Nugent's existence was sunny, and there was only one cloud in the sky, old Hodgkin the gardener, whose attitude to domestic pets had been permanently soured by having to throw rubber rings for Tricky every day, now found himself appointed personal valet to a pig. It was his duty to feed and bed down Nugent, and to supervise his play periods. The idea of doing all this for a pig who was never ever going to be converted into pork pies must have been nearly insupportable for the old countryman. The harsh lines on his face deepened whenever he took hold of the meal bucket. On the first of my professional visits to his charge, he greeted me gloomily with,
"Has a come to see nudist?"
I knew Hodgkin well enough to realize the impossibility of any whimsical wordplay. It was a genuine attempt to grasp the name, and throughout my nephew's long career he remained nudist to the old man. There is one memory of Nugent which I treasure. The telephone rang one day just after lunch. It was Mrs. Pumphrey, and I knew by the stricken voice that something momentous had happened. It was the same voice which had described Tricky Woo's unique symptoms of flopbot and cracker dog.
"Oh, Mr. Herriot, thank heavens you're in. It's Nugent. I'm afraid he's terribly ill."
"Really? Well, I'm sorry to hear that. What's he doing?" There was a silence at the other end except for gasping breathing when Mrs. Pumphrey spoke again.
"Well, he can't manage to... Well..."
She was obviously confused.
"Not properly."
"That's strange," I said. "Is he eating all right?"
"I think so, but..."
Then she suddenly blurted out,
"Oh, Mr. Herriot, I'm so terribly worried. I've heard of men being dreadfully ill, just like this. It's a gland, isn't it?"
"Oh, you needn't worry about that. Pigs don't have that trouble, and anyway, I think 4 months is a bit young for hypertrophy of the prostate."
"Oh, I'm so glad, but something is stopping it. Oh, you will come, won't you?"
"I'm leaving now." I had quite a long wait outside Nugent's pen. He had grown into a chunky little porker, and grunted amiably as he surveyed me through the netting. Clearly he expected some sort of game, and, growing impatient, he performed a few stiff-legged little gallops up and down the run. I had almost decided that my visit was fruitless when Mrs. Pumphrey, who had been pacing up and down, wringing her hands, stopped dead, and pointed a shaking finger at the pig.
"Oh, God!" she breathed. "There! There! There it is now!"
All the colour had drained from her face, leaving her deathly pale.
"Oh, it's awful! I can't look any longer!"
With a moan, she turned away and buried her face in her hands. I scrutinised Nugent closely. He had halted in mid-gallop, and was contentedly relieving himself by means of the intermittent spurting jets of the normal male pig. I turned to Mrs. Pumphrey.
"I really can't see anything wrong there. But he's...
She still didn't dare to look.
"He's doing it in fits and starts."
I had had considerable practice at keeping a straight face in Mrs. Pumphrey's presence, and it stood me in good stead now. "But they all do it that way, Mrs. Pumphrey." She half turned and looked tremblingly out of the corner of her eye at Nugent.
"You mean all boy pigs?"
"Every single boy pig I have ever known has done it like that."
"Oh. Oh, how odd. How very odd."
The poor lady fanned herself with a handkerchief. Her colour had come back in a positive flood. To cover her confusion, I became very businesslike.
"Yes, yes, indeed. Lots of people make the same mistake, I assure you. Oh, well, I suppose I'd better be on my way now. It's been nice to see the little fellow looking so well and happy."
Nugent enjoyed a long and happy life, and more than fulfilled my expectations of him. He was every bit as generous as Tricky with his presence, and, as with the little peak, I was able to salve my conscience with the knowledge that I was really fond of him. As always, Siegfried's sardonic attitude made things a little uncomfortable. I had suffered in the past when I got the signed photographs from the little dog, but I never dared let him see the one from the pig.